What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum, as well as they've got mints. Got caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12. Helps with memory and focus. I like to chew it really all the time. Whenever I'm driving around showing houses, before or during a podcast, before a big meeting, if I got something going on with clients and I just feel like I need to be a little bit mentally sharp, I will pop a piece of NeuroGum and it gets me to where I need to be. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
Oh, I'd like to try some NeuroGum right now.
These are the mints.
Those are the mints.
Yeah, so I got some. Afterwards, you can take some hand wraps just to, you get all jacked up, and then you can bring yourself back down.
Perfect. I don't smoke weed here. Yeah, okay.
Also, shout out to Captain Beard Co. If you're looking for great health or great all natural products for your beard, or they also have shampoo, conditioner, and body wash, check out Captain Beard Co. All their stuff smells amazing. It's made with all natural ingredients here locally in St. Louis. And if you go on their website and use the promo code Zach and Pat, you'll get 10% off their purchase. I mean, I use this stuff on mine, and it, I don't even have to wear cologne because this stuff smells so good. And they've got a bunch of different scents. My favorite's the tobacco vanilla. I just think it's a classy, classy smell. But yeah, go check them out. Again, Zach and Pat, promo code for 10% off your purchases.
And lastly, thanks to our friends at Hand Wraps Rolling Papers. They are a local rolling paper company here in town, based out of St. Louis. They've got rice and hemp rolling papers, and they're the highest quality that I've ever come across. And they are, he's a local jiu-jitsu guy here, and he's a commentator on a number of fighting organizations. Justin, we're actually getting him on the podcast next month. So get out there and try some hand wraps. Now to introduce our awesome guest today. He's a professional MMA fighter, the great and powerful Tevon Taylor.
You won't be.
Well,
what's up, dude?
Man, yeah, appreciate coming on.
We're happy to have you here.
The Black Panther.
Black Panther.
There you go.
I like
it. Where'd that come from?
Oh, he's the Black and Blue Panther right now. So just that I don't get sued and try to say that it was my favorite superhero. It's actually, a metaphor for being of the same species, but a different.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I like
there
it.
There you go. I like it.
Deep ish.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows.
No,
it's good.
I like it. Yeah. We just watched your fight this past weekend, and we were just kind of talking about it. But you had your first pro MMA fight this past weekend. Let's talk about that for a few minutes.
I had my first pro MMA learn. We went straight to the Triple A's of baseball, if you will. And there's no padding, any records around here. Straight to fighting. Some studs, and that's what we expect, is to keep fighting studs. Unfortunately, it didn't go our way, but that is life.
Yeah. Well,
you must ride.
Yeah, he was a tough, we were just watching. He's a tough, deep former D1 linebacker, converted to MMA, big, strong guy.
Thick, man. Thick dude.
Yeah. I mean, his legs, crazy.
He cheated.
Yeah. So you fight at 185.
Yes, sir.
And, so how, how do you, we were talking and the wrestling was kind of, is that what that seemed to be his strategy, going in with a heavy, strong wrestling and,
Absolutely. I believe that was his strategy. I ascertained that from the 13 minutes of wrestling he did during a 15-minute fight. He was definitely going in there to wrestle, and I expect that more of my opponents will probably take that route just because they know the skill we present on our feet. So
yeah, well, I watched a bunch of your fights last night in preparation for this, and you got some beautiful knockouts out there on YouTube. So for you guys out
those
there,
legs, man,
yeah, go check that out, dude. He's got his kicks are beautiful.
It helps being those head long and lanky, and you just get that distance and throw a kick in there, man. That's
I didn't know they were so finicky.
We were talking before and while we were watching it and what were some of the biggest lessons you learned heading in that's going to help you prepare for it? Because it's a 4-fight contract. So you got 3 more What's going to prepare you moving on for these next fights?
Well, I think what's going to prepare me more for these next fights, it's in fact preparation. Again, you know, as we were talking earlier, I said that I probably didn't give my best self. Well, I know for a fact that I didn't give my best self in the ring during this first fight. And I made a few mistakes and just a couple of things happened in camp. And, you know, all of that together at the end of it all it just kind of helps me realize, like, Devon, relax all the way. All the way, relax. Not relax in camp, like, let's get back in the gym. But, you know, that wasn't your best self.
Well, how long are you taking off before you get back into it?
I was in the gym yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Right back at it.
Because your fight was Sunday.
Well, Sunday. I was in the gym on Monday.
There you go. Right back at it.
No, man. Like I said, it was, I hate that I keep saying, like I said, let's try to stop. Every time you see the L. Like, no, but as I was saying earlier, no, it was definitely preparation that had been missed in this fight camp. That's just due to outside forces, things that you can't, you know, control. Unfortunately, most fighters, if not all fighters, have things. Jake Roberts actually told me, said that all fighters have something going on in camp. So I'm not going to sit here, cry over spilled milk, ready to go on to the next one, ready to show the world what I really am about.
Because
going in there and not moving my feet, not being able to move my feet, that was a big factor. Again, that was something that happened prior to camp, but prior to the fight that was on me. I had made a mistake.
Yeah.
You just won't make the mistake anymore.
Yeah, learning experience. Sure.
And absolutely. Bring more towels.
Yeah. Bring more towels.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had a former guest on, and, you know, he's had a couple MMA fights, and, you know, he actually, you know, he runs a bunch of successful businesses now. And, you know, his whole motto is, you know, fight, you know, and he kind of created like a business, like a coaching program based off of this. It's called Training Camp. And he says fights are won in the camp, you know, and
that's the truth,
which is, you know, kind of, you know, tacks onto what you're saying here. So, yeah, man. So, you know, what really got you into martial arts from the get go? Like, what's your background?
I've actually loved martial arts since I was, say, the young age. Where are you in? How old are you when you're like in the fifth grade?
11 or 12.
So let's say like 10, 9 years old.
Okay.
Maybe like 8 or that, you know, my mom and dad, first of all, I had the greatest parents ever start there, but you know, they didn't really watch as much as what I was renting, CNN video. And so I was renting things like, you know, Spawn, Dragon Ball Z, the Broly movie, you know what I mean? I really love Dragon Ball Z. I really love the whole idea of like the world's martial arts tournament. I love Goku's idealism comes to fighting is better. So, let's relax because, you know, Goku's bad father. Let's start there. But no, he's just bettering himself. Like, he just wanted to be stronger. He just wanted to be the strongest. And I just find that so fascinating. Just wanting to be stronger, wanting to be better. You know, if you lose, you lose. You get stronger from that point.
Right.
Like, there's no point in sitting there and dwelling in a loss.
Well, like, you learn more from a loss than you do a win.
Exactly. So,
you know, yeah, like you said, it's just a learning experience for your first fight. Now you're going to be well prepared moving forward. Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about you. You're growing up from St. Louis. Where's you?
Famous from O'Fallon, Illinois.
O'Fallon, right, just the other side. Same, yeah. So, well, famous question, where'd you go to high school?
I went to OTHS, O-Town, baby.
Okay.
They call it Whole Fallon. I don't know
Township
why.
Or whatever.
They call it Whole Fallon because we're pretty. You know what I mean? O'Fallon was cool. You know, I found it to be a real eye-opening experience for a young African-American. Because a lot of my friends, they really weren't going to schools where it wasn't so urbanized, stuff like that. Like, I would hang out with a lot of people that was hanging out. You know, unfortunately, it's just not the same situation. You know, people have a certain idea, like, what going to a school that was predominantly white would be. A lot of my white friends were really good for me. You know what I'm saying? Really good to me, and they're still good to me, and they support me. Shout out. That's my boy. I think it put me in an interesting situation so where I could actually, like, develop kind of a chill concept of what it really means to be. That makes sense. I've been in a melting pot with all kinds of students. I've never been one to judge somebody's content by their skin color, not their character.
Right.
quote Martin Luther King. It's just, I've always just known if you were.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
A white dick, a black dick, you can get a dick in every color.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of kids that I was hanging out at the time, they didn't that concept of formation. So I thought it was at that kind of to build, if you will, an understanding of social workings of the world that we live in. Like, you got people, you know, race baiters and stuff like that, and people really racist, and I could at a very young age like tell who I wanted to be.
Cool,
that's awesome. Yeah,
man. So when did you actually start training?
I started training in mixed martial arts with my boy Eric Case, rest in peace. I don't know if you've ever heard that name, Eric. He was a big part of the martial arts journey that I went on in like maybe 2008 or 2007. He invited me over to his house, and I was playing football then. I was, you know, a little bit bigger. I played defensive end. And he, you know, Eric, he was one of those guys too. It's like, okay, well, I heard Tavon's pretty tough. Let's see if he can put on the gloves. So he invites me over to his house, right? And then there's 2-3 other guys there. And then there's Eric. Then he's like, okay, you want to fight? And I was like, sure. Yeah, I love fighting. I hear you guys do mixed martial arts. Let's fight.
Yeah.
So the first guy comes out. He's probably like 160 pounds.
It's just like in someone's basement or something.
This is an Eric's basement. This is an Eric's basement. Similar, you know.
Similar to where we're at right now.
You know, the first guy comes out. You could tell he has a little jujitsu training, maybe not so much strike training, but he's like maybe 160 pounds soaking wet. So I, you know, he throws like this little lazy punch out. You know, he's cool. Like, give me like never back down kind of body. Cool.
Yeah.
You know, he's like just real calm because he loves fighting. So I went over there and I uppercutted the shit out of him. Boom! Hit him real hard. He looks up at the ceiling. His nose starts bleeding. Then I hit him with his left hand. I'm sitting there looking at him. He's smiling. He goes like this. And he's like, hold on. He said, hold on. I said, oh, you done? He said, yeah, I'm done. So he packs it up. Eric's like, oh, man, that was awesome. Yeah. Eric's like, all right, cool. Do you want to fight me now? And I was like, oh, here's the setup.
Yeah.
So I'm like, sure. Now, the last guy, he didn't put on any pads or anything like that. Eric, I see him over there. He's putting on these shin pads. Like, what the hell does he need those for? Yeah. Not only that, he's over there warming up. Yeah. I'm like, well, what's going on? He's getting some mitts. Cuckoo, he hits this guy's mitts real fast. I had never seen mitt training before. So we start out in the middle of the basement. And he looks at me. And then I look over at his friend. And they're like, he's like, go. And I look back at Eric. Eric kicks me in the chin so fast. Bow! So fast. I mean, the fastest I've ever been hit in my life. And that's including love you, mom. But, you know, them quick swipes. You know what I mean? Those don't do it swipes. Came out and rocked me right under the chin. Boom! I'm staring up at the light. Staring up at the light like this. And I'm just sitting there for a second. I think that's the first time I've ever seen that white, you know, that white light.
They're
talking about this, like the last time I had seen that white light was probably when I was wrestling for this sword from these two twins when I was like, maybe like 9 at the bowling alley. And they fell back on me and I knocked myself out. Remind me of that. That's funny that you go back to things like that.
Yeah.
So then I come down, he's looking at me and he's like, ready to keep going? I'm like, sure. And so we keep going and I'm throwing punches. He's just out there dodging the punches. Eric's a real martial artist, man. Yeah. Dodging punches. And then I try to connect one. I think he probably gets underneath on the arm somewhere. And he wraps me up. And then we end up on the ground. And then he goes to like mission control almost. And then he goes with the leg across the throat here. And he starts squeezing. Yeah, go-go plotting. He's squeezing it down. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, tap out.
Yeah.
I was like, man, you're choking
me with your foot.
Yeah. Tap out. I was like, man, you're really good. And he was like, you know what? Pretty good too. You know, if you wanted to, you could really do this. And that's
a great sales pitch.
Yeah.
Right?
Great sales pitch. I'm probably what, third, fourth, 15? 15? Okay. Yeah. Cause
you're like freshman in high school.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Sophomore. No, yeah. Freshman in high school.
Okay.
No. Sophomore in high school. So probably 15.
Yeah, 15. 16,
yeah, I'm like 15. Because I didn't start my freshman year in football. And then I went on to starting last 3 years because of how hard I worked and I wanted to play.
Uh-huh.
But looking back on it, I wish I had just gotten into martial arts.
Sure. Sooner, yeah.
You know, because
we all wish we would have done it sooner, right?
I was like, I'm so in love with football. But I was influenced by one of my friends. That's another thing. Tell the kids, don't listen to the kids at school. You know, listen to your parents. And then hear that from an older person, you're like, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Oh man, if I wish, I would have listened to my parents and just kind of been true to me, who I was then, because back then I was in the anime stuff. I was building Gundam models in my room, staying out of the street. Next thing I know, I get influenced to go outside, stop building Gundam models, and I'm getting in trouble with weed and guns. No guns, not in school. No, that was late. But basically, yeah, I owe a lot to Eric, man, and I miss him every day. Wish we had hung out more.
He passed away?
He passed away, man. He had gotten into an accident. You know, he was doing well for himself. He was actually doing like nursing and stuff like that, because I think he told me one time his last fight, he got paid like $11,000 for the fight. And but he didn't need to, because he was like going through nurse school, and he had like an extra money added on from the school that he went to, you know what I mean? He was like flying him and his girl out to Japan, and him and his buddy, my boy Brian Boaz, shout out Brian Boaz. They were good friends, you know what I mean? That's why I would say I didn't hang out with him as I would have liked to. I wish I had, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he was definitely.
So then Eric influenced you to go join a gym?
Or? Mm-hmm. Eric Hayes told me, because.
Or did you join the gym that he was at?
No. So the gym he went to was Hit Squad. Hit Squad closed down.
Actually, a really good podcast that I just listened to this past week. I don't know if you know Josh McKinney.
Josh McKinney, yeah.
He's a jiu-jitsu black belt. He's under our affiliation. The best black belts in town for sure. And him and my coach, Kyle Watson, because Kyle was the head jiu-jitsu coach at the squad, and he lived on campus. And they just did like a 2.5-hour podcast. They called it the rise and fall of the greatest gym of all time. And it's all about like, you know, the Hit Squad, and it's all these like funny stories. And it was, so if you're out there looking for some,
he told us some of that. Unfortunately, we couldn't air that podcast.
Yeah. Cause we had some audio issues. Yeah.
We're going to get them back on, but yeah.
But oh man, I was heartbroken. Yeah. So this was my coach, you know, one of the guys I look up to more than anything. And then of course that was one of the episodes that
the audio does.
Wasn't, you could barely even hear him on the mic.
This thing plugged in?
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
We're rolling.
Yeah, we're good. That's why we wear the headphones now. And yeah. I mean, he was at the Hit Squad. Where did you go?
So I actually didn't start training until 2016 ish or so, like the end of 2016 at an official gym. My father had passed away from pancreatic cancer in like 2015. It's okay, man. It's a part of life, dude. And John Jones, actually, his dad had a good quote on that when his sister passed away. And because my dad, he was real devout in the church. Like, if you ever think of somebody, talk about like a righteous person, like a really good guy. My dad was
that's awesome.
Like, it wasn't like, you know, he had his moments behind closed doors type stuff. No, like, I mean, 24/7 good guy. Didn't smoke like that. Didn't drink. I think the only time I saw him smoke anything was when my Uncle Mario came over and we're on the porch. He just took a cigar, smoked it with him. The only thing I've ever seen him drink, Saburo beer from like, Japanese Garden back when it was over. You remember Japanese Garden? Japanese Garden was so good. But that's it. Okay. Other than that, he was in the church. You know, he's in the military. He was solid, stern, mentally strong person. And I've never met anyone like that before.
Well, I'm sure as a fighter, you have to be mentally strong. You feel like that you've learned a lot from your dad about all that, being mentally strong?
Man, the 20% that I feel like my father is the only reason I can sit here and tell you hilariously that I would still get elbowed in the face and watch the Joker. Like, I could just be under that guy getting elbowed, because, you know, not only the fact that I was super comfortable I'm super comfortable in any fight because of how relaxed he would be my life.
Like, okay.
Just watching his poise in certain situations.
Has he gotten to see you? Was he around to see you fight?
No. So, actually, he didn't get to see any of my fights. And one of the reasons also why I wanted to see this through is because I knew that I wanted to start fighting. I felt like I could do something fighting. He wanted me on his deadbed looking at me one time, and he asked me about the Air Force. He was like, "What about the Air Force? Why don't you do the Air Force?" And I told him, my dying father, well, I think I want to do something else. And instead of being upset or anything like that, he looked at me like he trusted me. He said, okay. You know what I mean?
Do it. Yeah. That's awesome.
It makes you happy.
Granted, if I had told him, I was like, I'm trying to get in the cage with my underwear on, beat people up for money. He might have been like, nah, son. You didn't get your ass in the military, son. But, you know, just to me personally, that brings a lot of motivation to me. Because again, you know, God forbid, if I don't get paid a lot from fighting, I plan on doing other things to do with fighting that's going to get me paid. You know, the MMA community, fight community, the jiu-jitsu community, mm-hmm. which is included.
Yeah,
because we love you guys. It's a huge community, man, and people are interested. There's money in it.
Sure.
You yeah. know, if you're passionate about anything.
And just with how much it's blown up within the last handful of years, it's insane.
Yeah. I mean, ever since 2020, I feel like, you know, with the UFC being one of the only, like, sports organizations that continued to operate during COVID, like that, I feel like that's where I saw, I mean, because I've always been a fan, but. That's when I started to notice a lot more people like really get into MMA and UFC and then over the last several years, like that's translated to jiu-jitsu, and like I'm seeing a lot of people. I mean
look at it. Dana White's one to bring in
yeah, like the grappling competitions
and jiu-jitsu competitions.
Sweet. God bless Uncle Dana.
Yeah. God bless Uncle Dana, man. Dude, I mean, if there's a Mount Rushmore for MMA, he's most certainly on it.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He's smart because he knew teamwork. Yeah. You know, you got to know who constantly. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the right people around you, sitting here not trying to accept help from people who are good people willing to help you, you're not going to make it, in my opinion. Just how it is.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And that's anything.
It's anything.
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 Yeah. No. For sure.
And you know, Dana, I saw one of those clips yesterday about him talking about entrepreneurship. He had said that you got these guys talking about they want to work for themselves and doing this fucking, but they don't have the backbone to realize there's not going to be any Christmases, you know, when you work at first. There's no Christmas when you're working
for
yourself.
There's no birthday. I don't get a winter break. Yeah, you know, we don't get a winter break. We're working all, you know, like, I might not work on Christmas, but, you know, I'm sure the day after I'll have something to do.
I'm going to Florida on leaving Saturday, and I'll be back the Friday afterwards, and I'm just going to be working from a better location.
Yeah.
It just doesn't and, you don't turn it off.
And that's why when people are like, oh, I'm taking a break after that. I'm like, you think I'm taking a break after an ass kicking?
Yeah.
First of all, as long as the noodle's not rocked, the gym. Yeah. You know what I mean? We working out. And even if the noodle is rocked, all right, we'll take it slower.
Right.
There's no reason to miss work. You know, this life is physical pain, metaphorical pain, financial pain, mental pain.
Right.
If you can't deal with it, looking for a safe corner, a safe space.
You're in the wrong sport.
Yeah. You're definitely in the wrong sport.
Yeah, for sure.
Go hide.
Yeah. So what does your training look like right now? What does your schedule look like when it comes to?
Okay. So let me hit you with the wrong schedule I had.
Yeah.
And then let me hit you with the new schedule.
Let's do it.
Because I'm going to go ahead and put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, for my future competitors and challengers who think it's sweet on the ground or anything like that. Beforehand, Monday, wake up. 8 o'clock a.m. is to when we're supposed to be at the gym. I live an hour from the gym. So, of course, you understand how much earlier I have to wake up to get there. 8 a.m. with the boxing coach. Do that for an hour, then head into work. 9:30 to 5:30, you know, p.m. Try to get out some earlier sometimes. And then get over all the way down, an hour and 30. Actually, we leave at 4:30 now on Monday. To get an hour and 30 minutes away to Pettigo submission fighting.
Oh.
It's probably going to grill me for how terrible I look on the ground. Not a representation of that gym at all, because they're the best in the world. Right. And they were allowing me to come in and get some work in. And again, excuses and stuff like that. I can talk about my ribs and all that, but still. Those dudes would have never looked like that. They wouldn't have accepted it. They probably would have committed septic coup after that. Like,
my second, not my most recent match, but the one before I had before it was against the Pettigo guy.
Different.
Very good.
Did you win? See, and you see how you said it like that? You're like, no. That's how most people say it. They're like, okay, it's going good until the Pettigo guy shows up.
Yeah, you know, he took me down, and then, you know, he just got me in a footlock pretty quick. And, it was super smooth.
You feel like saying who it is?
Yeah, it's Ty.
Shout out.
It's like Titanic BJJ on Instagram. I know that. Hold on. I should know his name. I'm sorry, Ty. Ty Coleman. Thank you.
Shout out Ty Coleman, yeah. Man. Because Ty Coleman takes a lot of time in the gym.
You know him?
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. I'm bad at names, man. Don't put me on the spot like that. I'm sure he's gonna be pissed at me because I feel like I do know him. I hope it's not my boy that's in my. You know, they've actually really been quite accepting to me out there, man. And I think it's because I am humble.
This dude.
See. Okay. Oh God, he's gonna kill me. Yeah, dude. That's Coach. I call him Coach though. Okay. Low key, he just foot swept me when the room was all sweaty.
That's how he won. That's how he took me down. He foot swept me, and then I had him in half guard, and he just grabbed my top foot and fell back into a straight ankle.
I'm sorry, Ty Coleman. His name was Ty. That's funny.
Yeah, I knew his name was Ty. I couldn't remember his last name. But anyway, so then you go from...
Oh, so from there to Pedagogues. I'll make sure to get at least 2 to 3 hours of grappling, and if possible, until they close or until everybody's done grappling for that time.
So you go all the way to Mount Vernon?
Mount Vernon, from Richmond Heights, St. Louis.
Damn, that's a hike.
Bro, that's a hike.
It's a hike, but you know what? I'm not in this to dick around. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're going to go train with the best.
Unfortunately, I've decided to take Tuesdays off. I thought I made Tuesday my off day. I think we might change that just a little bit because I never really make it an off day. Like I said, in the morning, I was still going to privates with Mop, and that was like a slower walkthrough. We'll do like, you know, jiu-jitsu off the ground, off the back, stuff like that, which is cool. But I think Crown Gracie just kind of showed something of what you should be doing, and that's getting your hips ready. So yeah. I might change that up to a more vigorous workout in the morning time. We're together in class that I'll come to on Wednesday, which usually MMA day. And we're changing that one. Oh, so we have a wrestling class on Wednesday. In the daytime, it's boxing, though, at 8 a.m. on that Wednesday.
8 a.m. boxing. 8 a.m. boxing. 5 p.m. wrestling.
I actually recently also worked in 2:30 with Coach Eric Steinberg.
Yeah, I know Eric.
You know Eric, yeah. Dude, one of the best coaches.
Yeah, he's great. Eric's awesome.
And a really great, because he was really helping me in my camp. While my camp, they were kind of busy, Sean, and making sure that he was prepped. Eric actually came up with a good game plan that I'm sorry I didn't implement, Eric, because you know my legs were kind of cooked, but we had a solid game plan, and I would still let Eric cook that game plan. Me and him he still plans on helping me out and working. I'm probably upping my time over there as well, over at ESMMA. Yes. Yeah, because and just the just his expertise in certain invaluable, you know. So, and so from there Wednesday, and then I would do strength and conditioning with Jeremy Pickett, who's a great strength and conditioning coach. Like I said, I was in great shape. You know, it's the only way you don't get held down and beat down by a guy that's doing nothing but jiu-jitsu and wrestling, D-word wrestling. Football and wrestling for the whole camp. You know, he didn't throw us in. You know, he threw one punch. He threw more than one punch. He threw like four or five punches the whole time. On the feet. The whole time.
Everything else was elbows and short punches.
Everything else was elbows and short punches from the guard. But, you know, so thank God for Jeremy Pickett. I was in great shape the whole time. I could have kept going more rounds. You know, if it was a 10-round fight, maybe I would have got him back. So Jeremy's workout is usually strenuous.
And what are those workouts like?
What's the word for like a continual workout, if that makes sense? Like they're like 5 minutes. It's basically simulating 5 minute fighting. Rounds of a fight, you know, just how to get.
Like AMRAP is what we call that in CrossFit.
Yeah.
You know, like as many rounds as possible.
Like kettlebell pulls, battle ropes, flowing, jumping in between spots, box jumps.
It's like doing 5 minute circuits.
Yeah, exactly. Excuse me.
But balls to the wall for 5 minutes.
Balls to the wall, man.
And then you get a minute break and then right back at it again.
Balls to the wall again.
You mimic that fight. Makes sense.
Like I said, I'm really glad that I had Coach Jeremy for that. And I wish I could have got him down to the fight to be with me in my corner too at the same time. So then after Wednesday, it's like MMA. Rounds, stuff like that, situational sparring and everything, you know, from the back on the feet, on the against the wall on the feet. Then we go to Thursday. I take Thursday off from Wolf's Den, but I still have the morning session, Coach Mob, to go ahead and do some jiu-jitsu walkthroughs again. And I think I might keep that one that day, but then again, I might need to find some time add into prepping these legs for fight time. When I'm probably putting a lot of time
some miles. Running, or what do you mean?
I don't know so much running. Maybe more deadlifts, more squats, just strength training.
Thinking them up.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, John's legs were never a problem, but I think John's legs were also one of the prime legs on the planet. Like, those are legs. Like, they're made to kill. Like,
yeah.
My legs made to get drained in a bathtub. John would have never went out like that. But, yeah, so maybe adjusting the schedule there. Then at night, I usually make sure that I'm hitting the bag, when hit the heavy bag, so that I can keep my power up, see where my power is at. And I do that for an extended amount of time. Then, then I try to relax, stay, you know, hang out with the kids. Usually that day ends a little earlier. You know what I mean?
On Thursdays,
that's more like my time. And then Friday is a fun day because that's sparring day at the Wolves Den. Beforehand, they have like a hour and a half, or like an hour MMA class that I usually can't make on Friday because of my job. But again, I'm probably going to make changes here. Not doing anything crazy, but probably going to work early or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still in the schedule.
You're 4 days out from your last fight. It's okay. Right. You don't have it all figured out right now.
And I just know that we got to make some changes in my camp. Sure that I'm getting to the right body. That's just a crucial part of it.
Yeah.
You know, you can work technique all day, but if your body is not ready for whatever you're trying to put out, that's just how it goes. You know, that's part of it.
Yeah. Well, so what's the sparring day like at Wolves Den?
Sparring day's fun.
It's every Friday you guys do that?
Wolves Den is a great place to go spar. You know, some places
I would imagine it's, you know, the big MMA gym. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I feel like that's primarily what, you know, most people that go there, they go there for MMA, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I've never been there personally, but from what I understand, that's gym. I mean, I know they have like jiu-jitsu classes and stuff like that too there, but I feel like when I think Wolves Den, I think MMA.
Yeah. They are the one of the quintessential MMA gyms in the area.
For sure.
You know, competing with the other ones. I hate when the word competing comes up because really it should just be.
You guys are all, I feel like that's changed. I feel like that's changed.
It's
man.
On the change.
You know, like, yeah. I feel like everybody, like, I mean, dude, think about how many gyms you've referenced talking about your week.
Right.
You're going like 6 different places.
Exactly.
So it's like, how can you can't have that competition or that, you know, and you know, it's some things are going to be, you know, area specific, you know, like I go to Watson's instead of Revive because it's 20 minutes closer. You know, it's not like it's just more convenient for my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily like I'm picking that over this one. You know, obviously I've been there for a long time and I've got loyalty to that now, but people choose what's convenient for them.
Exactly. And what's convenient to them and their training schedule. What, you know, you are readily available for what you're doing in the moment. You know? And Wolves Den is definitely one of the top MMA gyms to go to. They have a really good sparring culture. You know, what I mean by that sparring culture is like some gyms go to, it's a little harder spar. You might go in there, you might feel a little sore. Like,
it's a fight. Yeah.
It's a fight, you know, at Wolves Den or of a, you know,
spar.
Getting through the motions, but still getting a good workout.
You know, you might catch a good one, but it was by accident.
Yeah.
You know
people aren't trying to knock you out in training.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
and that's what you want, man. You know, you
can't take too many freaking headshots. I mean, you're already getting beat up. Like, why would you want to go put yourself in a situation where you're going to get beat up during really beat up during training.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, again, you know, there's some people who like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here because my week was that hard.
And I need to take out my
frustrations.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you got to depend on how far out from your fight you are. You know, do I want to go get some hard sparring or do I want to go get some hard sparring? So, exactly. You know, there's a place for that in MMA, unfortunately. Or fortunately and unfortunately, there is a place for that. Because, you know, I do think you need to have at least one of those hard sparring days where you leave there like, holy shit.
I got some stuff to work on. Yeah.
Got some stuff to work on.
So. Every couple of weeks maybe, but not constantly.
No. Yeah.
In camp.
Hell no.
So are you just sparring like in and out of camp? How does your sparring differ like as far as like frequency? Like how often are you sparring like in camp? Are you sparring, you know, once
Coach
twice a week?
Coach Mop hates how much I spar.
Okay.
That's why another reason like so many people were hitting me up just like, Tavon, what happened? Man, you weren't even moving your feet. Like, I was like, dude, you won't believe if I told you.
Yeah.
I spar a lot. Okay. I spar on Friday with the gang when I can. On Saturday, Eric has sparring that you can go to. Yep. And I try to make that whenever I'm not working. Unfortunately, work a lot for this camp too. That was, like I said, many, many excuses that I don't believe in excuses. You know what I mean? That's why I'm not.
I mean, that's another thing, man. Is you're working full time too,
right?
Like you're not just fighting.
Working full time, upped my hours too because bought a bunch of stuff that they didn't know how to work.
So you're an engineer.
So what I do is I'm a maintenance engineer, and I doubt that they'll watch this just because they won't. They're not to the world as I can tell. They basically renovated a hotel. You know, did I say renovated?
They renovated
a hotel. Okay. A hotel that was already there. It's the mainstay suite. Come see us. It has a lot of issues. It has a lot of issues going on with it. It's needs to get to. I'm part of that. But they redid a whole lot of the rooms, like putting floors in. Mm-hmm. But when they did that, they hired a temporary moving service instead of spending they should have spent on 2 minutes of truck. Now there's more money on top of that that they would have spent because everything's all, you know, improperly. Mm. Maybe I shouldn't spill too much. Just say the temporary service did not do.
Okay.
So now I'm going back and having to fix things that I shouldn't. You know, the job's coming down. It's harder.
Right, because they want to get open and put.
Why can't we put this room back?
Yeah.
So, well, no, your temp service threw the couch off and it out. So now this one's split open. Now they just put it back in the room. Mm-hmm. I have the couch.
Yeah.
And it's right. Me and another guy who's 60 years old. Yeah. So that was the situation leading into fight week. Just
work stuff.
Yeah. Just work stuff. And again, excuses. But it's life. Happen. Yeah. Get through it. I wasn't, no way I was back. Yeah.
especially your first pro fight, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I don't want the organization. Like, I'm not showing up because of little issues and stuff.
Now, have you gotten your second one, next fight booked yet?
I told him I want to fight in February.
Okay.
You know, that's what Coach said. He said, you know, the quicker you turn these over. I was like, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go.
Sure.
Because, again, I know where I went wrong in this camp, but I know how to fix it easily.
Well, I mean, you look at it too, like in the U.S., I mean, like Sean Woodson, who's a teammate of yours. I mean, what, he fought four times last year?
Mm-hmm.
4-0?
Yeah.
I mean.
Killed him.
Yeah.
Who was the other one? Beautiful.
Who was the other?
Smoked him. He was a Fury champ. That guy he just smoked.
The
organization
him?
I fought for. Really? Fury. He was ex-Fury champ. And Sean smoked him.
Dude, Sean
beat the
him
shit
up.
Out of him.
He was beautiful.
He came out
watching. I mean, he just watched his strikes. He's just so precise. Crisp. Like, and, yeah, crisp. Just, yeah. It's.
You guys ever seen Tiger fight? Anytime Evan Elder, you know who Evan
Elder
is?
Yeah, Evan, yeah,
anytime he comes over and spars with Sean, it's like watching Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like sitting there standing.
Yeah, we had Elder. Great.
Yeah, I've grappled with Evan quite a bit.
Yeah, he was supposed to be in that same one that Sean was for that jiu-jitsu match, but he backed out. He had to
fight out because of that issue.
Yeah.
Well, that issue. He's had a sparring.
Yeah,
that issue.
We had Evan on earlier this year.
Yeah, so. Evan's a good Evan.
He's a good dude.
Great guy.
When I first started training, Evan was at the gym, and he was just one of the nicest guys I'd ever met.
Just one of the most positive people I think I've ever met.
He is a great dude.
Yeah.
And when I was hitting him up for this camp, unfortunately, I couldn't get out there because Evan had his own things going on because he's in the UFC. You know what I mean? He was fully inviting me out to come to his gym that he was trained out at. Florida, mm-hmm. You know, out in Vegas. He said, yeah, man, do this and that. And just, you know, next time I'm really going to pursue that.
Yeah,
you know what I
mean?
I'm probably going to try and train out here in Denver here soon. Hoping I can pop out there in January 6th.
Get that high altitude training.
Get that high altitude training. And one of my friends recently, I don't start dropping stuff like that. Yeah, there's a good gym that's saw the fight. Like, hey, it's all fixable stuff.
Mm.
Just come out here and work with me. We'll come out there and work with them. Take it up on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. I guess kind of where we left off the schedule. So Saturday you go to ES and spar.
Yeah. So Saturday sparring, and then I'll also do something that day. Did I tell you, my man, I forgot on Friday, after sparring, I'll do the strength and conditioning with Jeremy, just to maximize.
Oh, so back-to-back days with him.
No.
So Thursday, Friday.
So Wednesday I work out.
Oh, Wednesday, Friday.
After the sparring, after MMA, then we go balls to the wall. So, again, that's why I felt like I was in good shape. Yeah. But I need to up my calorie intake, because that's why my legs is getting so depleted, I feel like, because they're being worked so much. But that's not a bad thing. Honestly, that was another large part of this camp that I probably didn't take serious enough. Like, even though we had a nutritionist for this camp.
Oh, did you?
You know, but just my frequency of training and mixed with family excuses prevented me from doing what I should have done, calorie-wise, you know? Yeah. And I definitely had changed.
So you fight at 185. What's that cut like for you? What do you walk around at?
Shoot, about 25 pounds. You know, I walk around 205, big days, 210. Like, probably at the beginning of this camp, I was 210 pounds. When was that? I can't remember. It was like two months ago that we took this fight. Mm-hmm. So about 2 months ago, I was probably 210. And they said something. And I was like, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. Then I looked dude up, and they were all like, oh, this. Got the back and so-and-so. Got a lot of money. Making this mansion before the fight. Getting in the bath or a hot tub. He's got these little icers for his legs, and he's getting massages, getting this and this and that. Sitting here flipping tires, going Rocky mode in my buddy's garage, gym, running miles. You know, I was like, yeah, no, that's good enough. It is good enough. I said, trust me, if you're working anywhere you're working, you're getting the right work. Just make sure you're getting the right work. Be cerebral.
And you don't need all the state of the art stuff to be successful.
Nope. No, I'm good.
Do you diet down at all from like 210 to 205 to like before your water cut, or how do you?
I just water cut, and water my cut. Diet, I make it better. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never really been a big fried food eater, you know, which is unbelievable. Chicken, watermelon, but I do enjoy.
Those are two of my favorite foods.
Yeah. Who does it?
Yeah. Right? I was like, why?
Who does it? Right? Like, for real.
I will sit and eat a watermelon, like a whole, I've eaten, I've eaten an entire watermelon.
Just take slice it half, take a spoon, go right at it.
That's a little insane. You might walk.
I've eaten a whole watermelon and then I regretted it the next day.
You're a crazy cat there, man. I'm playing.
No, I mean,
done that too. Yeah,
when I played football, we was like, you know, we used to do, you know, the 2-a-days. Like, everybody did 2-a-days, right? Just out in the sun all day. I'd come home and just, like, I remember housing a whole watermelon in one day. And then the next day, my stomach was a fucking mess. I had to leave practice like twice to shit.
I sat here and lied to you. I've definitely done that. I just been trying to cook. After sparring again, or after the workout on Friday, then it's, you know, sparring over at Eric's, and then from there I go home. I'll work. So I've been, sometimes when I'm working, I'm like, I'll take a quick break and go out there and spar. So I'll probably go back to work, if that makes sense. Go back to work on that day, and then go home, hang out with the fam, and then Sunday comes, and Sunday sparring is usually sparring at Wolves Den or sparring at St. Charles MMA whenever I can get the chance. Jake has a thing now, man. He doesn't recognize my code. One time he texted me, and I thought it was the nutritionist. And so they were like, he was asking me, I think he was asking me to come and spar or something. Like that. He was like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? And I was like, why? What's going on? Do you need help with your plumbing or something? Like, because, you know, I like to be helpful. And these people were, like, helping me. And I'm not used to having, like, sponsors and people who just, like, pay for things just because they want mention with my name and stuff. So I was like, bro, you just gave me such and such money. Let me at least come over and look at a pipe or something. Like, I can do that. Plumbing's easy for me. I can do that instead of you calling a plumber and being like, yo, $700. But no, so Jake was mad because I didn't recognize it. And it was Apple's fault. He didn't have his name up there. It was just a number. So he was like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about? I was like, wait, oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was a nutritionist. So now every time I call him, he's like, is this again? But no, yeah. He still lets me know when the good days are up there to spar. They spar, or they train a lot of really good, high-quality athletes, man.
Like, oh, for sure. St. Charles, you know, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they've had people up there like Darian Weeks. You know, they had Buckley up there. Mm-hmm. You know,
I was going to say, I saw some, you were sparring Buckley, right?
Yeah. And yeah, like I said, I've been a strong people. Yeah, my guy was strong. He ain't Buckley. Strong.
Yeah.
Okay. Buckley is a different kind of strong.
Oh. Yeah, I grappled him once when he was at Finney's. I mean, I was like, brand new.
How'd that go?
How do you think?
I have a feeling.
Yeah,
man, it's just, I feel it in my stomach.
This is probably like six. This is probably like 6 years ago, and yeah, we threw me around for a 3 minute round, and then I went on to someone else. I didn't even know who he was at the time. You know, and obviously didn't know what he was gonna be.
He's hungry then still.
Oh, for sure. 100%. You've trained with Max too, right?
Max, Chev, yeah. Max Chevy,
oh, yeah.
Dog, he's Genghis dog. Khan.
Yes.
I need him to get
Genghis
back
Khan.
In the ring. ASAP, bro. ASAP, yeah. He needs to get back in the ring.
Yeah, Max is awesome. He just posted. He's got a fight book.
Oh, perfect.
I saw it. Yeah.
Oh,
I literally
God,
saw it like
yes.
right before the podcast.
Have you seen his walkouts?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He comes out because he's from Uzbekistan. I think
that's the next Alex Pierre.
Yeah, he's got like this. Oh man, he's a motherfucker. Yeah. He is tough. I've trained with him quite a bit, and yeah, he's.
I'd need earplugs before fighting that kid. That just need the corner. Don't look at him. Just don't mind the Genghis
Khan.
Yeah,
he comes
music.
Out to this like crazy music and like wearing like the get up and
it's
the,
so
the whole
tough,
thing. Yeah,
bro.
It's like oh man,
it's so awesome. And he beat up this kid. Shout out Cody Joe. I lost my first one. You lost two. We should run it one time, even though you won't. This guy who beat me in amateurs when I blew out my knee. And, you know, after the fight, he was all like, coming up, yeah, man, people telling me you blew out your knee, no fought and everything. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, bet. So we're going to run it back. We're going to run it back. He's like, yeah, we're going to run it back.
How long ago was this?
Never ran it back. Never. What was this? 2 years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, man. I had, MCL, ACL, PCL, meniscus surgery.
Holy shit. All four?
I blew my knee up. It was terrible. Yeah,
and that was in a fight that all happened? Or
no,
was it
actually,
leading up to the fight?
Actually, thanks. Shout out Isaac Dancy for blowing up my knee. We were getting Isaac ready for one of his fights. So, you know, he shoots a shot, I stuff it. Shoots a shot, I stuff it. And then it's like the last minute of the last round that he had going. So I was going to let him get his tank down in real quick and finish on top. And we were like, yeah, shoot this shot. He shoots it all hard like some sort of D1 football player and grabs my leg and he just like puts his shoulder right where top of my knee, just like digs it down,
just folded it,
folds everything out, popped it all the way out. And again, keep in mind, I'm fighting in like a month, so we all hear the pop in the gym and we're like, and Yogi's looking at me. Shout out Sensei. We haven't talked about Sensei yet, but so everyone's looking at me like, so. And if you see Cody Joe, like, Can we bring up? No, but I wish we could bring up the fight with Max and Cody because I was there, you know. And I respect all my opponents. I respect everyone who puts on the gloves. I respect every part of this game. That's why I won't disrespect my next fight with him that I just put in. But when it comes to people talking noise and, you know, not honoring their promises and stuff like that, you know. Especially when it's personal to me, maybe that's just a little bit of my pride talking. You know, I kind of lose my respect. So, of course, I came to the fight on what we like to call hater time.
Okay.
You know, any moment that I saw him, boo, Evan, just, you know, calling him out. You know, Max went in there and destroyed that kid. You went in there and whooped him bad, talking about elbows to the face, bing, bing. And I think I would do the same to you, buddy. But, and he knows it. That's why he's scared. He's about my height, maybe like half an inch taller. Talking about he can't make 85 again.
Hey, Murph, we're going to cut this one, and you're going to make a reel for him, and he's going to tag Cody in that. Put it on social media.
Tag it.
Yeah.
Tag it. And we call him Cody Clitoris where I'm from. sorry, just trying to get the 1-0 so quick. Sorry.
Yeah. Gotta get that fight back.
Yeah.
But, basically. That's what the whole injury had spawned from. I kind of went in there and blew my knee out trying to kick him again. Shouldn't have did that. And afterwards, into the dark period.
Is that what ended the fight? When your knee blew?
No, he choked me out from the back. But luckily, they have it listed as an arm bar. So it doesn't. Which one's worse, arm bar or severe submission?
I don't know. I'd say our rear naked choke.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they're both.
So
I don't know.
we basically ended up in this arm over where I had his arm in here like this, and we were sitting on the ground, and like I had thrown him sideways like this, but again couldn't use this leg to like base up or build back like that, and it was on fire. Like I'm sitting there burning. I would pull it up if I had it because I have a great angle of it. I'm just sitting you watch it and you know anything about any grappling or just people in general who have like any kind of a brainstem, they'd be like, yeah, he would have just rolled his hips here, just came back around and started beating the shit out of him again. But
yeah, you just couldn't. Sit.
Oh my God, my leg. Just that's all that was going through my brain. And then he just, so I let go. I actually let go of the stable position because of how my leg was sitting. Like, let go of his arm and the over of his head. And he came around and just locked on the choke real quick. As quick as it could.
Gable grip choke.
And then I was like, dang, he's choking me out. So I just went ahead and tapped out real quick. So that was the end of that. But still soft. So, baby fecal.
So who's sensei?
Yeah.
Oh, sensei. So if we would go back talking about fighting, just, you know, when I was competing. Like that competition, sensei was about to work in right perfectly at the smack in. So when I got back from Virginia, I went out there for like a year and a half. Right,
after high school?
No, this is after my father died.
Oh, okay.
In 2015. Like I said, Yogi, we started working out in 2016 because I had my first fight in 2017.
Okay.
So I gotten back. And I remember going to see Yogi once before with one of my really good friends, Tanner Lieber. It's like a real friend of mine. Had him, I said, back in the day, back when, you know, you were a kid, no, it didn't matter to me because Tanner was a good guy. You know what I mean? And Tanner, he had taken me to this MMA gym one time. So it was like a little bit before I had left over to Yogi's. Tanner had been training there for a while and he locked on like this triangle choke onto me. So I would go to pick him up and I'm about to slam him on the ground because I saw it on TV.
Because you saw Rampage Jackson do it?
Exactly. I'm like, I'm about to wreck Tanner here. And the Yogi comes up. Whoa. Whoa. We don't do that anymore. He said, we don't do that anymore. So Tanner took like go get down and stuff like that. He's like, you're pretty strong. You're a pretty good athlete. You ever thought about fighting? I was like, yeah, man. But he didn't say it like in an interesting way. He said it in kind of a like, man, this kid thinks just because he's athletic, he can fight kind of way. And then he moved on to his other student. I think it was Landis at the time who was sitting there warming up on the mats or something like that. I was like, cool. I'll probably come in training once I decide to go ahead and get serious with MMA and everything like that. Because, again, I just gotten done playing lacrosse. I quit playing football because I saw Antoine Yeldon get his leg split. And I was bro, I'm 6'2", or I'm 6'3 now, too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, football field is not really a place for someone of my frame because, you know, yeah, I could play, like, defensive back, but I was trying to play defensive end, and I was on the starting defense at the time. You know what I mean? You're in there with the guys who's going to come, like, trap your shit from the back and everything like that. Then it was like
chop block you, take your knees out.
They had seen that I also had hands, too, so I was thinking about converting to wide receiver. Saw Johnny Knox get his back folded. You know, he's dead. Like, no, he's not dead.
Right.
Like, you know, but almost dead. Like, paralyzed him. Pretty bad. It was messed up. Like, and then I was just like, yeah, there's just such a short glory window in football for you to be had. You know, you know, I respect those athletes. And when people they complain about whatever their gripe is with football players, shouldn't get paid this much. I'm like, football players are underpaid. Yeah, they're underpaid, dude.
Well, here's the thing with like, this is where I think of with like football, any professional athlete, it's like, at least I think the mentality behind it is the reason they make so much is it's supposed to be kind of like a lifetime sort of thing.
Set you up for life.
Set you up for life. Now a lot of guys are not as financially savvy, and then when they get those big, you know,
investing in their mama's big barbecue and chicken.
Right, or they're or they're just, you know, housing all their buddies and paying Bitcoin for all these things and doing all these, you know, spending their money not very intelligently or intently. Then at the end of their career,
said about having a good team.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't have a good team.
Yeah. Sure. But I mean, I think they deserve everything they get. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, like baseball contracts have gotten pretty crazy, though, too. It's insane.
They make some bread. They make some world-changing bread.
Right.
How much is Ohtani getting paid right now? Half a billion?
$500 million. Fucking Juan Soto just signed a 15-year deal for $780 million.
Oh my God. See, that's I would have been in the baseball field every day if I knew that kind of money was coming out of there.
I tried it.
I tried it.
They don't pay minor leaguers too much.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, at least you went to the minor league, bro. I mean, shoot, you look like you hit a couple home runs over here.
I gave up a lot. I was a pitcher.
Oh, wow. You look like Henry Cavalli in that Mission Impossible movie. You thought you were gonna cock your biceps at me when I saw you in the front yard, dude. I was like, Jesus, why isn't this guy talking to the fighters? Like, he's the fighter. What's going on with him? like Vin Diesel in every single movie.
Vin Diesel with better hair.
Man, Vin Diesel with way better hair, man. Yeah, dude. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, you scared me when I came in. I was like, oh, God, I hope this is the interview. No, but no, yeah, the baseball money got ridiculous. But I just didn't really see a large glory window for football for me, just because I didn't really retain weight like that. Like, I'm talking about, I'm waking up at 6 a.m., lifting weights, eating 5 plates just to impress coach. And the biggest I ever got to was 225, benching 315. Impressive, yeah. But.
That's a small DN.
Tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, tiny.
Tiny.
Yeah, tiny. 225, people will be like, oh, dude, right. You're a big corner. Yeah, yeah. You're a big wide receiver.
Right.
225, you're not even a big linebacker. No. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and somehow, some way, I was still making the first team out there. Ended up that they can only have like a 5-man starting out of state rule. So instead of taking the 225-pound defensive end, like, again, I don't blame Dodge City, Kansas at all. In fact, they probably made a wise decision in redshirting me. And back then, young Tavon didn't think about it. It was like, oh, man, well, I told him I only wanted to come to this junior college for a year and a half, because they were one of the few junior colleges that could offer scholarships to you. And I was in, like, the Jayhawk conference.
Oh, yeah, so like Butler, CC, and
They played Cam Newton when he was down in Abilene, Texas, or whatever.
What was that? What was the TV show that was there? Second Chance or whatever, the Team in Independence?
Last Chance U.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like Last Chance U, dude. You know what I mean? But again, I was in a good spot. The coach actually did like me, and they were helping me out. I had a 3.8 GPA there, you know, somehow, which means I was obviously getting some sort of hookup. But, you know, young me was just like, no, this is bullshit. They weren't fitting my plan, because I'm trying to get here and get to the NFL quick. Because I don't know what had given me a sense that I needed to do something quick to try and impress my dad. And sure enough, it came to fruition. Because I was just, that's all I was. I need to do something to impress him. Just make him know that, you know, trying to get this approval from him and stuff like that. And
so did a lot of, you have siblings, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I have an old sister. I don't know if you know her, Makayla Taylor. Uh-uh. I don't know. I just feel like she would know you guys. She knows a lot of people. It's funny. Like, well, is your sister Makayla? Like, I don't know. Yeah, no, she's cool. I love her. She's supportive. She's actually supportive to a fault, because her funny ass, she called me after the fight. How you doing, T? Hey, my friend's here. She wants to see your eye. So I thought that was a good one. I love her too much. But I didn't think that football was gonna work out like that. So I had actually gotten offer to go and play for Mary Baptist University off of one visit from Coach Jolly. Shout out Coach Jolly. He saw me playing. He was like, hey. Well, Coach Jolly had a little bit of body. He's like, hey, if lacrosse doesn't work, or football doesn't work out, call me and I got a lacrosse scholarship.
So did you play lacrosse?
I did. My team, we actually went to the MCLA or whatever it's called. We had teams in there like Oregon, Texas, all kinds of stuff. It was St. John's, I think, or everything. Well, either they were in it or they were all at the same. No, they were all in it. We were all at the same tournament. And it was like this real big, we made it to like, I guess like the finals of lacrosse, like the big whatever it was. Granted, we lost our first game, but then we won our second game there. We didn't get any more games after that. But, you know, we beat everyone in like, I think like our division, you know, we got a trophy and like that big little run up and stuff, picture and everything. It was cool. So, you know, our last game, we ended up playing Wash U, who had beaten us early in the season. We spanked them the last game, and it was awesome. That was to get us to the little playoff thing. So, you know, lacrosse was a great experience. I love lacrosse.
Did you play that all through high school? Or
I started playing my junior year. We actually had gotten lacrosse my sophomore year, didn't play the first year that it was there, but then I played the second time, and I was basically a clearing midi, because they're like, man, he's fast and he's aggressive. He like puts his head down. And so I was clearing the ball more often. I played varsity and JV. The reason why I played JV is to get my stick skills up, right? Mm-hmm. And then varsity so I could go and do what I do. So the funniest things, I wish there was still film of these JV games, because it was like, you put your, you know, what, 14-year-old son out there, some dude who looks like he's 20-something.
Yeah. 225, 6'3" and a half.
Take off the arm pads on his jersey, like
looking jacked.
And the lacrosse players are tough. So first of all, let's start there. They just might not be physically gifted early, but no, they're tough. I folded this one kid's helmet in on itself. I don't know if it's in. Folded it in, talking about, gave him a huge gash on the head. He takes it off.
dude, that was awesome.
Like, what do you mean? He's like, that's the hardest I've ever been hit. I was like, Jesus, I'm sorry, man. Like, I was hitting people so hard, I actually bit the side of my lip off one time because of how I had my mouthpiece in. And the other guys that I just ran over, like, I stood there, of course, after I ran him over and bit my lip off. I was like, and they came and got them all, took it out of hand, and they were all celebrating, like, yeah, I took him out. I just see this little dude. It was like, it was me, you hurt him. And I was like, damn, and I had to stay down there and get my lip stitched up. It was funny. Oh. Lacrosse was a great experience.
Yeah, I wish I would have. I that was a sport I always, my high school didn't get it until after I left, but I always, like, wanted to play lacrosse. I thought it always looked fun, you know, it just looks fun throwing that ball around with the stick.
I'm creating a lacrosse team in East St. Louis. So,
in East St. Louis? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You ever heard of the East St. Louis Flyers, the football team?
No.
Oh, they're good. Really? Like, what's his name? Terry Hawthorne played in the NFL. Just, they put out NFL talent almost every year. They dominate the area, basically. They beat people by like 40 points and stuff like that. Like,
Do they? No, I guess maybe they're on the, it's on the Illinois side, so they're playing in the Illinois leagues. It's probably why
we played them. Oh. Really? The first time we played them, they smoked us 40-0.
You guys were in Illinois, yeah, right?
And we were a good team. Yeah. We went 13-3 our last year. You know what I mean? We were up in Lincoln Way Central.
See, which is crazy because, like, just you're literally 5 miles from us, just on the other side of the river, but we don't ever hear anything about Illinois football over there. It's all
they just now started playing CBC. I think they played CBC this year, and I think they lost by like a touchdown. Yeah, and CBC wins state every year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, every other year.
Yeah.
But, football or no, lacrosse went good. You know, that's actually how I had gotten down to like a weight of like 195 pounds in shape that I could run and stuff like that. Unfortunately for me, I couldn't keep my grades up. St. Church, left out of there and, was trying to do the SWIC thing to get back in there. Could not get my grades up because of music class, gave up school. And then looked up Sensei Yogi. Mm. Bam, Yogi comes in. And then I go, he's in the back of a Thrive Fitness, which is, I don't know if you know anything about Thrive Fitness. It's like, can I compare it? You know what Planet Fitness looks like? Cut Planet Fitness in half and then cut that half in half again.
That's right.
And then there's a little dance studio here. There's a bunch of machines and it's running. And then here's Yogi in the back with fighters.
Okay.
Like cauliflower ear fighters. Like, you know, I met Michael Pixley, dude's number 9 in the world right now. Cold blood. I met him at one of Yogi's things. And, that was back in the day. You know what I mean? He's probably like 185 pounds. You know what I mean? I was bigger than Pixley then. And now he is huge. Yeah. Have you seen him?
Yeah, he's huge. I saw him because he coaches the guy that at that match against Ty. He's like one of his training partners.
He's way bigger than me.
Yeah,
he's gigantic.
You know, he got I think he got like 3rd at ADCC this year, which is the biggest grappling competition. Uh-huh. I mean,
and then only lost his last match. What was it? Because of points.
Yeah.
It was some weird stuff that happened in the match, too, wasn't it?
He darced Mirigali.
Yeah.
Which is, like, fucking awesome.
That darce is crazy. You know, one time I got out of that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you? No, but, no. Pixie's awesome, man. But, no, Yogi Johans is definitely one of the best influences to have for in the MMA.
So what is he exactly? What's his pedigree?
His fight name was the God of War. He actually used to fight. I think he said over like 59 fights around there or something like that. And he's had some tough fights. You know, he's lost some fights, won some fights. You know, he is an MMA fighter though. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's what you would call one of the old guard fighters. You know what I remember? Like Chuck Liddell's, the Wanderlei Silvas. You know, he's one of those guys with that mentality. Like if you were like, remember how we were talking about safe spaces earlier?
Yeah, there's none.
No, it's accountability. And then actually, I might just talk a little shit to you too to see how you respond, you know. And Yogi was like that, dude. He didn't, you know, he's gonna get you a fight for sure. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you know, it might be a tough fight, but he ain't gonna set you up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He ain't gonna set you up by any means. And he was a really good base for my MMA career. I feel like just when it came to distancing, footwork, and boxing heavy, because he was, you know, a boxing coach at one point. Like he was helping coach boxers. He actually ended up moving his gym to a gym right next to a boxing studio where we were boxing out of Belleville Boxing Club. We were doing MMA class in the front part while all the boxers were in the back. They're looking at us like, what's going on with all this grab ass? Yeah. So I love the Belleville Boxing Club a lot. I don't know if you know who AJ Graham is, do you? AJ Graham, he's like a professional 135 or something.
Sounds familiar.
Fighter. Yeah. He's really good right now. He's undefeated. I think he's 14-0 or 13-0 right now. He actually made the transition from MMA after his last MMA loss into boxing. And, I don't wish I had followed him, but, you know, he's making like 25K a month.
Wow.
Not to put his finance out there, nothing like that. We'll just, that's not exactly how much he's making. More than that.
Yeah.
Probably by a lot doing a team boxing. You know what I mean?
Cool.
He deserves it because AJ, AJ is one of the people that I look up to. He's younger than me. Actually, one of the people that I will like reference when it comes to hard work. I don't to a little homie, but no, I do look up to AJ. He's actually a very inspirational man because he puts in the work. One of those guys who knows that when he goes in the ring, he's not losing because of what he's done in camp. That's just a testament to where he belongs, you know. He's probably going to have one of those big fights here soon to where that $1 million calling, you know what I mean, or a plus.
That's awesome.
So I'm glad that I met him through Belleville Boxing Club. My other boxing coach, Larry Wade, I met him through there as well. He's a really good heavy fighter. Another guy who works a lot, just probably, you know, hasn't put as much into the sport as he wishes he could, and at the same time because of responsibilities that he has in his life. Yeah, Belleville Boxing Club was definitely a big influence. Went 2-1 in boxing. First time I've ever boxed at heavyweight. Just one heavyweight, the one loss that I had. No. We 2-2 in boxing because we lost to a heavyweight, too. I lost to Stephen Kasgard, too. I remember this. So do you guys know who Stephen Kasgard is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's been in the fight scene for a little bit, but he's a boxer. And I showed up after a full dig day for Tiger Plumbing. Don't ever buy them. For a certain, can we bleep that name out? All right, cool. For so and so plumbing, don't ever buy from them. Get any work done because they'll send people like me to your house to try and to do work. Remember, this is my first plumbing job. This is my first plumbing job. So at this time, you did not want to see me pull up at the door. But we just got done doing a full sewer dig. You know what I mean? So I'm covered in mud and everything like that. I've just been shoveling for hours, just trying to get stuff out of the way. Made room for this little 4-inch boot that they were going to put onto the city line and stuff like that. And digging out a diversion pipe or whatever for somebody's rain because they charge them extra money to a diversion line, like put PVC under the ground. Like, yeah, we'll put your water over here. Like, it mattered. But so I show up, and again, this comes to respecting the combat sports. If you think you're going to work a full, 12-hour shifts shoveling and stuff and then go in here and box, don't disrespect boxing like that, even if it is 3 rounds. You know what I mean? Went in there. Knocked my boy down in the first round. He got up. Okay, time to box. Boom, boom. Just went to work. Just was boxing the whole time. Outpointed me. You know what I mean? And that was the end of it. You know, he likes to show the picture of how he looked afterwards because he said he got like this little, I don't know if he had a black eye or bloody lip or whatever it is. How I looked after fighting Tavon. I make sure to write on there every time. I'm like, bro, you won that fight. You won that fight. It's hilarious. But like I said, that was back in the beginning of the career or back during the beginning of our amateur career.
Mm-hmm.
Doing boxing, taking boxing matches, which I'm glad that I did because again, they got me kind of ready for my ring presence, stuff like that. And Johan's, he made sure that I knew all the basics of wrestling. It's like even more than the basic of wrestling. There's just certain submissions that he's taught me that people be like, man, I didn't even do that. But you know, of course, with everything, you got to go ahead and just, there's a point where certain people don't have that much more to teach you. And you know, yeah, also, he was kind of more of a 145er gym, 155er gym. Yeah. People there were getting a little too small, you know what I mean? Like, and I didn't really have many people to train with. So I kind of made the transition over to Wolves then just for that reason.
For the size.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I had my friend Dylan Hogan, who hurt, unfortunately. Good training partner, Dominic Cicciarelli. He's been taking a lot of jiu-jitsu meets lately. He's been hurt toward bicep off the bone or something like that. My friend Dwayne, another reason I came out to the gym because, you know, huge. He's already big. I think like damn something right now. But he's a great jiu-jitsu guy, great wrestler. You know, Dwayne's pretty good. Like I think his first fight that he had as a pro was in Bellator. He ended up knocking the guy out.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, dude. So I friend Clark, he's a really good. I don't know if you know Clark Stithethev, but he's pretty good. He's on the scene too. You'll hear from him. So he'll be if he wants to in the UFC. He's one. he's kind of a psycho. He works for Boeing and he's really good at MMA. I'm like, you're definitely the hitman.
Yeah.
You know those people who are getting missing yeah. for the Boeing stuff? Yeah, he works for Boeing. Yeah. I hope I don't get him on the list, but I know who your killer is.
Yeah. This was amazing, man. I really appreciate having you on.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
A lot of fun, man. You've got stories for days.
Yeah,
man. I'm sorry about that.
No,
it
means we'll have to get you back on.
Oh, yeah.
This is a lot of fun, for sure.
We'll hopefully be in here when, man.
Yeah.
Actually, no, we will be in here.
Yeah. Well, let us know whenever your next fight is, and we'll try.
I want it in February.
Yeah, okay.
Let us know. We'll do a fight night.
Yeah, we'll do a
We do fight companions and stuff like that on here too. So we'll get together.
Yeah,
it's going down. Yeah. Fury FC, baby.
A lot of fun.
Fight Pass, UFC Fight Pass. Look them in. You know, Fury FC, great organization. Love being there for them.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, one more thing before we let you go. This is a little game we like to play at the end of the show. It's called the Tombstone Game.
Uh-oh.
here lies Devon. What's it say on your tombstone?
He tried.
Hey, good enough.
That works.
He tried his best, man.
That's awesome.
I love
perfect.
Make sure you put the man on it.
Yeah.
You tried, man. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Please click that subscribe button if you haven't already. Click that like button. Comment what you thought below. And we will see you next time.